All right, welcome kindergarten. How many of you have taught kindergarten? How many of you are teaching kindergarten? All right, good. Did you know that Isaiah already talked about teaching kindergarten? Isaiah 28 verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And then in verse 13 again, "Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." I was surprised that it was really that off, but kindergarten is so repetitious. They come, these little 5-6 year olds, and so I just started teaching them a few weeks ago, and they came just 100% enthused about their lot in life. They get to come to school. They really think they made it now. They're in school. And yet they come when it actually comes to the bell ringing. "Oh, so now what? Oh, let's go to our desk." And I'm like, shh, shh. The bell rang. So the bell means be quiet. At home, they can talk whenever they want. But at school, the bell means be quiet. Do they know that? It refreshed my brain to just simply make sure they know those little details about what is expected of them. Here's another one. "Good morning, girls." So if you who have had exposure to school don't reply, how much do these little people, these 5-6 year olds? So the first morning I said, "Good morning, boys and girls." They kind of looked at each other and, "Well, good morning." So I thought, lesson number one. So I explained to them, I'm not going to explain it to you because you know how to do it. So we tried a couple of times. I said, "Good morning, boys and girls." So I said, "Now you stand." And then I caught on some wind on this side and some wind on that side. So lesson number two, I want you all to stand on this side. And it has to be this side because some of them have desks with bars there, and I don't want them jumping bars every time I want them out of their desks. So before we had our devotions, a couple of times, "Good morning, boys and girls." Up, and then, "Okay, perfect, that was better. Sit down, let's try it again." It's just line upon line. And then the next verse, Bible verse I thought of is 1 Corinthians 13:4, and some of those, "Charity, which is love, suffereth long." It has patience. It takes patience to teach these little people, because there's so many things they just don't know. And charity, again, is kind. Patience is kind. Love is kind. It is not easily provoked. Can you be provoked at kindergartens? Yes. But they don't mean to be bad. Like, I have a crew of 9, and they're very energetic. But it crossed my mind, they're not bad. They don't even mean to be bad. They simply don't know. They just need to be taught. Another thing I thought of is, so I say I like my crew of 9 children. Do they feel it? Do they know it, that I like them? Or am I constantly saying, "Sit down, sit down"? That was another lesson we had to tackle. Sit down. And they did pretty good with raising their hand. There was a few that definitely needed a bit of help, but they did pretty good with that due to some homework that was done before in a different setting. But stay sitting. Sit down. Stay sitting. Finally, on the 3rd or the 4th day, I'm like, this is just it. I'm sick of it. So spur of the moment, I made a decision. Sometimes those aren't good. This time it worked. I said, this was like 11:45, and I had said it more times than I could remember, "Sit, sit." And I said, I picked up a chalk and I said, "Every time I have to say sit down today, I'm putting a mark on the board. And at the end of the day, you can see how many marks are on the board." They were shocked. And I thought, as a group effort, that's not going to work. So by the next day they came to school, all their names were across the blackboard. And I told them, if I tell you, Sally, sit down, she gets a mark under her name. And a whole day of winning a prize is a long time for kindergarten. So I broke it up into four. First recess, noon, last recess, and after school. And I worked towards twice a day. So now we're doing it at noon and at the end of the day. It is just amazing. One little girl said, I am surprised that Sally didn't get a mark because she's always out of her desk. And I'm like, I am too. But I thought, you just watch. You might be the next one. She didn't get one yet, but it could be coming. So the mark, that part of it worked fine. Then there was one or two that needed to help with talking without raising their hand, so I added that to the list. And in the back of my mind, I thought, is this list getting too long for these little five-year-olds? I thought, just watch, I can see. But it wasn't. I was just amazed how quickly they could stay sitting without being told. There's a few that got marks. The one told me, I don't care that I didn't get a candy because I had one in my lunch. And I thought, well, just the fact that he told me that already tells me that he did care. And then, so now they're staying sitting. And so by as of Wednesday, I added another one. And that is, so some of their desks, so they were sitting in their desks, but their feet and their butts were anywhere except where they belonged, but they were still in their desks. And some of them would fall out of their desks because their feet got tangled in. Well, I didn't like that either. So I just asked them on Monday if they think it would be okay for me to add that to the list too. Oh yes, yes, that's fine. And there was four of them that I knew were going to get a mark on Wednesday morning because I said, we'll start on Wednesday. And guess what? Not one of them got it. They all made it. So they all got two candies. I was very amazed. Well, I decided then, obviously, it's not too big of a pile of rules for them to remember at this point. So gradually, I'm going to get it to, we only do it at the end of the day, and I hope to eventually stop it altogether. Like, it's just wee little rocket things. Like, it's a super small prize, but so on Wednesday, then there was two that almost didn't get it, almost got a mark. But before I got the chance to go up to the blackboard and pick up the chalk and make a line, they sat down. So I told them after somewhere along the line that they all got a candy, but there was two, and I had said, I'm not going to say the name. And then on second thought, I thought, I'm going to tell them so that the guilty ones actually know it. And it so happened that the one that had said earlier, I don't care that I didn't get a candy, he was one of them. And the look on his face was, oh, that was close that I didn't get a candy. So I knew it was a bigger deal to him than he thought. All right. My notes here. Don't assume they know, even if the older siblings had told them and prepared them for everything. Do this, do this, don't do this, and don't do that. They still sit there, and they have so much to learn. So even with recess time, the bell went, so that means it's time to go for recess. At home, you can stay outside however long you want. I'm sure mom doesn't care. At school, when the buzzer goes, you come back in. And if you have snack at your school for first recess, fine. But they're not supposed to eat their whole lunch at first recess. This is only a snack. So I had to tell them. And the first few days, it took a long time to have their snack and to compare their snacks and to look what I have. And do you have some like this? And I have this kind. And then to get dressed and to get outside and to play, 15 minutes were over very quickly. Very quickly. But they are so much fun. I'm going to work it a little bit with order in the classroom, and I want some of your ideas too, please. And also a little bit then about how to teach some of that stuff. Order in the classroom is security for them, and it saves you a lot of work, a lot of stress if you have order. How to have order and structure in a classroom, it will vary from crowd to crowd or crew to crew, whatever. Some, like the nine I have, are they're well behaved, but they're loaded, Is that fair to say? They're energetic, but they want to listen. Just the fact that they cooperate and want to not get a mark on the board tells me that they do want to, and they just love coming, which is perfect. Any questions or comments, like, feel free to interrupt me if I'm rambling too much here. Another thing, in our school we have, I don't know for sure where it started. We'll say that it started with bad water, and then they brought water bottles from home. So kindergarten has these brand new bottles too, you know, and their mom got them water bottles, and say they come to school with water bottles. So they sit on the edge of their desk or on the floor. Well, you can about imagine what happened with kindergarten books and water bottles. There's a number of things. One, they kept falling off. Another one was they were sipping too much water, and then what? I also got sick of that. But nor was I going to deprive them of drinking water. So, spur of the moment, I said, water bottles up here on the corner of my desk. Take a sip of water. They live up here. And then I thought, okay, so then what? Because some of those too many sipping water is a chain reaction. Can I use the bathroom? Well, then all of a sudden three or four more. And if you got half the class out when you're trying to explain a lesson, it's not super convenient. And furthermore, I only let one boy and one girl go at a time. It sure saves disturbances. But sometimes if I think they're thirsty and they're asking for water, it's when you get done to the end of this page, then you may go get a drink. It works perfect. Sometimes they don't think of it. If they don't think of it, I don't remind them. They can wait till recess. Another thing for at lunchtime, do you think 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds are trained to clear the table? I don't think. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the mom does that, or somebody does. But on the first day, like, wait a minute. There was like 3 or 4 lunch pails sitting on the desk and no child around. Like, another lesson. So my class is here and the coat racks are just right out there through a glass door so I could see, hey. So I summoned them back in, your lunch pail. Take it out, clean up after yourself, the garbage, put it into the garbage. They want to, they just don't think of it. And they just need to be taught. That's why they're so much fun. Give me kindergartens any day. Like, they're just so innocent. They're just so, they're like a sponge. And they want to please. Coats and backpacks. I do not like coats and backpacks strewn all over the place. Already when our children came home from school, they caught on pretty quick. If I'd go out into the entry, it was to check. I hang up your backpack. It does not have to be inside the front door where everybody stumbles over it. And even if you come into a school to visit, it's nice if you don't have to pick your path through the coats and backpacks and boots and stuff. I told them after a day or so that coats and backpacks need to be hung up. And like I said, I can see through the glass door if there's a coat off the hook and splash pants and whatnot. I said, told them, if there's stuff on the floor, whose is this? Don't tell me that you hung it up and I already hung it up. Somebody knocked it off. No blaming, nothing. I told them, coats are in the habit of jumping off hooks. So just pick it up, take it out, hang it up. The one fellow who is very neat, and I knew he hung up his coat because I just knew he did, and his was on the floor. So I held it up and asked him if this is his coat. He jumps out of his desk and grabs it and says, I guess my coat just decided to jump off the hook today. I said, perfect, perfect, that is right. No blaming, just hang it up. Like, how long does it take? More effort to blame somebody else than to just go hang it up, is what I think. Let me hear from yous. What has worked for yous? What questions do you have? It's open discussion too. Another thing for an orderly classroom is don't blame the parents if a child is like, what? I am surprised that Sally, that her mom lets her get away with that. That surprises me. Or that Peter, whatever, like that just amazes me. Well, remember, however many you have in kindergarten other than one, most children come one at a time. So very likely your parents, like the homes you have represented, have one that age, at the most two, seldom three, unless you have triplets in your school. But there is rules you have to have at school that are not needed at home, and it's a complete different environment at school than at home, 100%. Everything is new for them, totally. So remember, again, line upon line, precept upon precept, over and over, here a little and there a little. It's just, there's so much for them to learn, so much for them to do. Give them credit where credit is due. If so, they accomplished something perfectly, like making a letter. There's one that's a little bit on the sloppy side, for him to make the letter G is quite a line and a dotted line and then another line. It went everywhere. But then there was one or two that was a whole lot better. So it was fun for me to point those out and say, now that is really, really good. And then I could, with a little more ease, underline another one and say, but fix this one up. If you can make it look like this one, perfect. So, how many of you are doing the 30-day curriculum in your school? Wonderful. The rest of you, 10-day thing? 10 days works perfect. And it's not, you're probably not on the curriculum committee, so I'm not going to tell you to change it. It's not your problem either, but I really, really like the 30-day curriculum. For one thing, if there's children that come with English not their first language, that gives them 30 days extra, or 20 days extra, to just get acquainted with stuff, to hear the language, to have it more riveted in their minds. And so we've had 9 days of school now, and if we would be doing the 10-day thing, we'd only have 1 day left, and I would be a little bit sad. But it dawned on me just this morning that one more day, and then we're a third of the way through already. And I'm a little sad at that thought too. But by the time 30 days are done and over with, it'll be into May, and then we'll be ready for something different. And because when you do the 30-day curriculum thing, then you've got the sounds and the counting to 100 and recognizing number, or the word colors. And a few years ago, I was teaching kindergarten as well, and I had one that came to kindergarten that had never held a scissors in his hand before. He had no idea. I think he knew what one was because if his siblings would have told him you can have one candy, he would have known to take one. If he wouldn't have, his siblings would have told him that's enough. So he would have known what one is, but numbers and letters, that was Greek. He did not know them. With that 30-day curriculum, it was so much fun watching the world open for him. By the time those 30 days were over, he could cut along a dotted line very neatly. He could count to 100 with ease. He could count to 100 by tens. He could sing the alphabet in proper order. He could recognize each letter, all jumbled and mixed up in the alphabet. He could recognize them and do them. I was just amazed. In 10 days, he couldn't have done that. He needed that 30-day curriculum. And even the smartest ones, they do too. They need it for socially, if nothing else, is what I think. Not everybody has everything. Nobody has everything. And nobody has nothing. So they all have something. But I just really, really like that curriculum because we learn a new letter every day, and so it's fun to expose them to it. I know that teacher's book says you don't have to insist that they learn the letters or that they memorize them, but I don't know how else to teach it. Like, I'm teaching it in the way that I fully expect them to remember it. Now, I know come September, the grade one teacher's probably gonna say, you taught them the letters? Like, they will forget, but it will come back very easily. It will. But different things to remember is, like for the letter D, like just say it with me. No, actually, sorry, the sound. I give them the name and the sound. So the sound is D. Say it with me. D. And like, so they could say it, but I had them put their hand to their throat, so you may too, and then say it again. D. Like, they could feel it in there. Like, and then we came to the letter T. 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 And I said it again. They put your hand here. T. 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 And so I tried to help them see that some sounds get made way down in here, and others are right up here. And then another one is right here. And then on Wednesday we had the G. So then that one's way down in here. And if they couldn't get it, all I had to do was go like this. Like when I did the flashcards with them, they knew right away. Because everything sound is right down in here. G, G, G. And with that curriculum, we've got phrases that go with every number that they learn and phrases that rhymes that go with every letter. And we had the letter G on Wednesday. So what do you think I took for them? Something that they thought was fabulous. Gum. So I don't want to promote chewing gum in school. So I gave them a piece after they were done with their lunch and said they can chew it the entire recess and into Noon Story. By the time I was done reading Noon Story, I was very happy to carry the garbage can around. Some of the pieces were getting quite long and they were not necessarily staying in the mouth. And then after school, I gave them another piece so that they can chew it at home. That's the mother's problem from there on. When I explain something, I do not like pencils and whatnot flying in every which direction and paging. There's one or two that, yes, I'm listening. I can see they think they're listening and yet they're paging through the book. And then I explain it. So what are we supposed to do? Patience, Ellen. I have them turn the book upside down, pencils into the ledge. And I insist on it. How else can they concentrate? It just works the best. So books upside down, pencils into the ledge. The other day, even when I'm reading story, I don't like them fiddling and twiddling with pens because it just, maybe it doesn't distract anybody else, but it sure does me. I don't know if I have a one-track mind or what, but I just cannot concentrate. And then would you believe it, that pencil twinged and went rolling and on the floor. So I told him, just leave it there. And he just couldn't believe it. Like, leave it on the floor. Just leave it, leave it. He got it because he didn't quite, usually I say, go get it and then leave it alone. But this time I thought, that's it. It's safer on the floor than on your desk. And he said, well, I'll just pick it up and put it into my desk. No, leave it. Just leave it on the floor. And he couldn't believe it. But I hope I didn't embarrass him because I did not want to embarrass him. But I just knew it's safer on the floor than in his desk, even if it's in a book. Another one I like to do is if when they have their books up the right way, I had some books along here to, here we go. Right here. One of them. Pick out, circle the picture that is the same as the first one in each row. So I had to teach them, this is the fence, outside the fence, in the fence. So they, but you use your own terminology. I don't care how you do it, just so they always know. So for picking the same one, I like to have them, so now point to the one that is on the outside of the fence, because they need to learn you start from this side of the page and work that way. They need to learn you start at the top of the page and work this way. There's so many things for them to learn. So point to the one. Would you believe it? Today, as of Wednesday, there's still one that went over here. And I just paused. Oh no, and he quickly caught on. So it's just line upon line. Patience, patience. But they are so much fun. Anyway, so for one like this, I like doing at least the first few together and teach them that, okay, so start with at the top of the CAD, point to the top of the tractor, the very top, so that we're all looking for the same thing. Because some of these at first glance, they all look the same. Well, let's start. And then all point to the back tire, all point to the front tire, and then go on to the next one and like that. And like for this here one, does everything look exactly? By now they can do this a lot better. You don't have to do all that stuff all the way to the end of those 30 days, but I just really like to get them acquainted with it. Because if you have nine, if you have one or two or three, you can go around and reteach it. I don't have time to do that nine times. It simply doesn't work. It's so much easier to do a first few together and then they pick up on that. And another one for this here type of thing, the one that I had a few years ago that didn't know numbers or anything, he would go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like he went all over. There was no system. I had to teach, like take his hand and until he slowed down enough and one number per item. Now, if you have a problem going in rows, for some of these things are kind of crooked, like here really, it's not really in rows, but put a little notch on it, or even a dot, then you know you already counted that one. Some of their dots are large, but if they can get it, that's great. They're doing pretty good with these. Well, this was in the first book, the way this looks. And so some of these are pretty easy. And one for this one we just did on Wednesday. At first glance, they thought it's pretty much the same. There was only a few things that they saw right away that were different. But one like this, I like doing together as well. So we might start with, I guess I almost forget how I did it. I let them look at it and they gave suggestions, is how that would have been. But then there's other things, other pages that are similar to this. Just do it together. They will still circle the answer they think is right, but it's to teach them to look for differences. So take a look at the boy that's sitting on the chair. And then point to the one with glasses and the one, they did get it. It was amazing. And the one that I think is so very, very obvious is this boy's shirt and this one. And they didn't get it. I had to throw some hints. They saw some of these wee little things here, like this thing and the cylinder stuff, like some of that, and this little log compared to that book. They saw those, but they did not see. That's interesting. Like they looked and they looked. No, they had them all. They sure they had them all. So, well, take a look at the boy's shirt. So, one like this, I really like testing their listening skills. And even the first few days, I did obedience tests, and it comes in this kind of a category. I wanted them to just see how quick they are with obeying. Like, how many times do I have to say, put your crayons away? Like, put your crayons away. So we did some, I don't have to do it much anymore because they've really perked up on it. But it's a thing of getting used to school routine is what I decided is what it is. And like, so yes, you may color because there's a bunch of these are not finished yet. So yes, you may color while these finish over here. But then, okay, now put your crayons away. Color, 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 color. Sally, did you hear what I said? Look around. Oh, maybe put crayons away. So I'm trying to teach them to listen. And I might do stuff even to just catch their attention, because how many times do people talk to me and I don't listen? Like, it's human. But I want them to try and get used to my voice and just listen. So when I say put away crayons, that means maybe right now. So I had them practicing with different things. And then with one like this, I think this was one of the same days, similar to that anyway. It's really good for them. Like, the first one is, it was snowing and many birds were eating seeds at the feeder. So first of all, I had them pointing to the first row so that we're not starting down here and working our way up. We start at the top, work our way down, point to the first row. So they all got it. And then it was snowing. Well then, so point to the pictures that have snow. So there's two of them. So point to those. So then it just helps it narrow it down for them. And then, what did I say the other one was? Many birds were eating seeds at the feeder. So then I read the first one again, the snowing and the feeding, the birds eating. It's just, I don't know, I really, really like this curriculum very much. Make sure they do them right. I'm really maybe too strict on it. You grade one teachers, do you like if they make their letters right? And what is right? I've watched many adults make them what I say is wrong. I'm not in any position to correct adults, but I decided I have 9 kindergartens in my room this year. I'm gonna try my best to make sure. And would you believe it? So the first letter we learned was the letter D. So when I'm facing them, I do everything backwards, right? Even the 7. Like when I'm making the 7, I have to go backwards. There's a few times I know that I messed up, but anyway, what was I saying? What was I starting to say?
Making the letters
there. Right, the D. So the D, I have them come up on the blackboard, for I don't have a big blackboard at all. So I also gave them practice sheets, their laminated sheets, and I gave them a dry erase marker. And I insist they do it right. And that was middle of January, that we made the letter D. And just on Wednesday, I saw one make a very hideous D. I thought, I must obviously keep watching. It was a circle with a line right smack through it. I thought, that was not made right. There's no question. Like, that was not right. So I have some homework to do. So just because they did it right the first day does not mean that on day 29, they will have it mastered. It's keep after it. And it can be done in a kind way. Like, I just, and they want to do what is right, but they need to be taught. I like chanting and saying things together. So we sing the alphabet twice every day. The third time, we stop at the letter we're learning. So when we got to the letter A, we sang it twice. And then the third time we sang A. Well, we're done. But it helps them hear what the name of it is. Like, with the way of teaching them that method is like, you have a dog, he is a dog, but what is his name? And what is the sound that he makes? Well, he goes woof. Well, that's, we don't say, look at all those woofs over there, they are dogs. And same with the alphabet, like the letter is F. Yes, his name is F, but he makes a F sound. And I don't insist that they actually know that, because that will come. But I do every day go around with flashcards for the sounds and the numbers that we learned. And just on Wednesday, now we're counting to 20 every day, and we learned the number 8 on Wednesday, I think. And they're going to, by the time the 30 days are up, be able to recognize all the numbers to 20 and count to 100, count to tens, sound out words. So we learned one vowel. And so it's D-A-D. I wrote that on the board, D-A-D. And then we worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, and they felt pretty good. And it's amazing with how many words you can make with just a few of the consonants and one vowel. It really is amazing. The one they liked the best was fat. They liked that one. And I check each page as I go, just because it's, if they make a mistake on Monday and then come back on Wednesday to correct it, it's way too long. It just doesn't work. Even from morning till afternoon, it's too long. So I do one page at a time, have them all do it, and then as they're done, they raise their hand, I come and check it. Make any corrections, get done right there. It's a lot easier on everybody to do it that way. And the other day I got the notion that we could start, we had a few extra minutes, so I got the notion we're going to check out the months of the year. And they all know their birthdays, and they were all sitting, so they had, oh yeah, they knew all about calendars and they knew when their birthday was, but the order of the months, they had no clue. So I decided we're going to say them. And as we say them, and we said them slow enough that when we get to their month, they're supposed to stand. And we've done it often enough now that they know when to stand, and if they're standing, then they sit down. And we chant it. I go January, February, March, April. And some of them had whopperous claps and gigantic stomps. Well, that can also be channeled. Like, you can just do it neatly. You don't have to try and pound a hole through the floor. Like, just, it was just simply to help get it riveted, and it's amazing. Now they can sing it quite, or chant it with me quite well. I wouldn't expect them to be able to do it alone, but with the crowd of us, it's amazing. I guess that's what's so fun with kindergarten. They come with such open minds, and there's no clutter in there. Like, when you think about the worries of a five-year-old, how many worries do they have? Precious few. About a little bit peer pressure, maybe, and I don't know. But they just come so open-minded, and it's just so much fun to see their eyes just light up. Like, oh, that's, I under, it's just so much fun. I'm guessing about midway through the term, if you do the 30-day thing, you're like, these children are just not learning a thing. Because 26 letters to learn in 30 days is a lot. It really is. But that's why I like doing, and even somewhere in here, come on. Maybe if I would look to see what I wrote down. I see another thing I wrote here is the teacher operates the pencil sharpener. Don't let them, that could be quite a... Here we go. This here page, like, they've got the letters up the ladder, and then that could be their flashcards that day if you don't reach around. And they're supposed to see how fast they can say them, like, and not M, it's M. I want them to say the sound of it. M, J, G. We haven't done this book yet. But so they do get practice every day, but I still like going around with the flashcards because it just makes things go a lot easier. But they will, partway through, just get almost overwhelmed. That's why I like doing it 2 days a week, because that gives them their little minds, just time to think and to absorb it. somewhere in here I had written some more pages that I had wanted to point out. I just know that if you think about the first day they come to school, the very first day, it's just so much for them to learn. And then I think it was day three or day four, I just marveled, like, is this the same batch of people? Like, really, they learned so much. Now by the end of day nine, I'm like, wow, they really have come a ways. And especially with the numbering, the counting thing too. The first day I had them counting all together, I wasn't too sure I wanted to do a lot of intimidating, like if the one could only count to 10 maybe and another one to 50, why have them doing a lot of bragging if it's not necessary? Like, to me that just seemed a potential problem. So I had them all counting together and we got to 15, but then it was quite petered out, so I stopped them at 15. After that I decided I don't care how far you can count. And now we count to 20, and some of them I am fairly convinced can count quite a bit further than that. The one girl told me that her sister can count to 100. I doubt it, but I never tried her out. They're twins, and so if her twin can and she can't, I'm okay, that's fine. But someday we'll figure it out. When we get to the end of the term, they will have had a chance to count to 100. Games at recess is another one that can be a problem. In skating season, then our recesses were staggered, so at noon hour they went skating, but at first recess and last recess, they I just played Can't Cross the Golden Bridge and little simple little games with them. But it so happens that now in muddy season, on the days I am there with kindergarten, the whole school plays together, and I really like that. For one reason, if for no other reason than it's that these little people get paired off with some of the bigger ones and learn the game that way. Like, how can I explain all these rules when just go experience it? And that's how I am. I need to see something before I can actually understand it. So let's just go play. You get paired up with an older one and let's play. But if they don't do that, then that's not everybody has to do it the same way. Even with having kindergarten in another class, some of you do, right? Anita, you do, and Emily, you do too. And how does that work? How many do you have in kindergarten?
Three.
How many do you have?
I have four in the
industry. Okay.
I've never taught it
before. And you have grade one and two? No, just grade one and three. If you would have nine or too many, I would say, because kindergarten is very intense. But if you have in with the other grades, then you'll do fine. But you will be busy. Go ahead. That's right.
Like, grade one is basically just reviewing.
Right. And a benefit to having kindergarten in with grade one is they see some things that you should be doing, how to act. Whereas in kindergarten, there's nobody, they're all the same page. We have a rule, no running in the halls. And so when the bell rings, it's full in the hall when everybody's in there. You can't really run. But when it was in skating season, we went in at recess, and it was wide open halls, and they just took off. And I like, no, Ellen, you've got to catch it right now, because I had said no running in the hall. But they didn't have the opportunity before. And I noticed two of the other classrooms shut their doors because it was loud, yelling and screaming, oh, we're going back into our desks, and so happy to be coming back in and loud. So I just decided the other classrooms already heard them, I may as well add to the volume. So I said, back, everybody come back. And one little girl said, I didn't run. I said, everybody back here, we're going to practice. Because as soon as I say, yes, I know you didn't run, there's going to be all eight others. I didn't run either. Well, somebody ran. So back, come back and practice, walk. And to this day still, they finally got their boots on and their coat zip shut and their hoods on and finally ready to go. And then they take off running because by then the hall is empty. Like, walk. I said, you may take big steps, but no running. And it's line upon line. As I was getting ready for this, I thought of that comes in so many times. Line upon line, line upon line. Are they actually done? What time was I supposed to quit? 11? Because I don't...
11 o'clock is
break,
is what it says here.
Okay. Because I don't hear the others talking anymore, and I saw a bit of movement there, so... Okay, well, there was more stuff I could have said, but time's up. Thanks for listening to me. Thanks for coming, and have fun with kindergarten if you teach them. They are truly exceedingly fun. So, anyway, you are dismissed.